So, of course, we all want to know when this is going to be over. I don't think it's ever as simple as that, really. We have to really come to terms and accept that there's no new normal, well, no getting back to normal, that is, and there's no return to that. This whole process is a massive global awakening journey, actually, that will go on for a few years, at least. But the intensity of it seems to be over the next 2 to 3 years, especially next year. So let's take a look at what it is that we can expect. What are the big players in this, astrologically speaking, and what might they be trying to achieve? And what dates do we need to look out for? So firstly, we need to be aware that the Saturn-Pluto conjunction that happened in 2020 in January, the early days of January, was a massive big deal. That was at 22 degrees, and it involved also the nodes of Saturn and Pluto at the same time. So a conjunction is when all the planets are conjoining together near or on the same degree. The nodes move differently to the planets, and it's rare for all to be in the same place at the same time. So rare that it wouldn't happen in this, you know, maybe for 1,500 years. I think the last time it happened was around the Byzantine Empire falling apart, if my memory serves me. So this particular point in time was like huge. And of course, those people in power who are not really working in our best interests would have been more than aware of this aspect coming, and that they would have needed to work with that. So you could see it as a bit of a battle of dark and light, although I think that simplifies things. So we don't really want to go down that route today. But, you know, yeah, there was certainly going to be something that was going to come from that. And we all knew about that. We just didn't quite know the reality of what that was going to bring. So this degree point of 22 degrees, super important. Anything else that triggers that will also be important. But actually what we have triggering going forwards is the 23 to 29 degrees over the next couple of years. And that's triggered by various different planets over the next year or so, going backwards and forwards, re-triggering points, re-triggering Pluto, Eris, and other planets, all, you know, bringing up and reactivating energies that we've already had activated. So, you know, there's no new normal, there's no, we're not going back to anything. This is about going forwards into something new from a very different perspective. And probably knowing a lot more than what we know now. So let's just look at what planets we have to be aware of. I'm just going to give you a quick overview because it's quite a few planets I want to cover. So we have Mercury there, which is currently about to go retrograde, which will be triggering the Pluto-Eris square, which we'll talk about. And then we also have that Mercury triggering again in January 22. And then we also have a Venus transit through Capricorn, which starts in November through to January 22. We have a Mars transit in February, late February through to March as well. And we also have the Uranus-Saturn square, which is ongoing in the fixed signs of Aquarius and Taurus, which, you know, we'll briefly refer to. And, of course, we have then the Jupiter and Neptune conjunction next year on the 9th of April, which is going to give us a bit of hope. We also have a nodal shift from Gemini to Taurus, which will be really interesting. That's something that I'm personally looking out for. So let's talk a little bit about Eros and also these degrees, because this is quite significant. When I'm looking at people's charts, I have to say, I'm always looking out for these degrees at the moment, the 24 to the 29th degree, because I know that there's sort of really deep processes that are happening with them. And especially actually this 28 to 29 degree, because the 29th degree is called anaretic degree because it's the final degree. It's the zenith degree of the 30 degrees in one sign. And this particular degree itself is a very important degree because it kind of brings together the previous sign, that sign it's in, and then the next sign. So it brings together three elements. So it could be like Pluto in Capricorn, for example. So you've got Pluto in Capricorn. So it would also pick up the Sagittarius energy and also the Aquarius energy. So you've got fire, you've got earth with Capricorn, and then you've got air, which is Aquarius. Yeah. And because of that, it gives it a lot more depth, a lot more versatility, because it's can access different elements. And it's known to be a little bit more evolved, let's put it that way as well, because it's learned everything about that particular sign and it's ready to move on to the next. So it's kind of right at the pinnacle of itself. So when we're looking at that 29 degrees, if in anybody's chart, that if that's being activated, they've got pretty important part to play in this whole awakening process. So that's important for you to look out for in your chart. And of course, you know, when big transits are coming and having an impact on that particular degree, then you know you're going to go through some really deep processes, which are for your benefit and for the collective's benefit as well, because whatever you learn will also support everybody else at some level. So on that note also, we have the US Pluto at, which is in the US chart, astrological chart, the birth of the USA, and that is at 27 degrees. And what United States of America is currently experiencing is a Pluto return. That's when Pluto comes all the way back to its point of birth in the chart, the same degree it was when the whole chart was born, when USA came into being. And so this is highly significant. We never get a return in our own charts because we don't live long enough. But this particular Pluto return in the USA's chart is massively triggered at the moment, or will be next year, when we have that 27 degrees being triggered. So we know that the US is going to go through really big, deep things next year. There's no doubt about that at all. And of course, Pluto is all about empowerment and disempowerment. If you look at what happened with Afghanistan, there was like a massive disempowerment process that went on there. And I suspect we'll see more of this erratic and power game, power dynamic behavior, victim mentality stuff, survival consciousness stuff coming out through, within the news, maybe not necessarily always the mainstream news, but it's happening there to the individuals and also to the collective. So this, we've got to know, is the background. Also, USA's Mercury is at 24 degrees. So again, that's that little degree from 23 to 27. And that 24 degrees is a very important as a point, because it's angular ruler of both the Sibley chart, which is the USA's chart, and also the Gemini rising chart, which is slightly different chart because there's not always an agreement on what charts to use for these different countries' birth times. But needless to say, we're looking also at this 24 degrees there too. And that's also activated currently. There's other things we could go into around that to do with the solar arc, Pluto, conjunct the Aries point, MC and other things, but that's just getting a bit too complicated. Let's look at what we have coming currently with the Mercury retrograde, which I've already mentioned, which is squaring the Pluto Eris at 24 degrees. So what we have is Mercury in Libra, currently, right now, squaring this Pluto and forming this cardinal T-square with Eris as well. And this is pretty dynamic. You know, a lot of existential kind of issues, a lot of this feeling of risk. So what we need to do when we've got all this like really intense energy happening is really kind of support a little bit more balance and moderation because the energy is so intense. We've also got to bring ourselves back to what is it that we need to actually do here to stay grounded. We can see clearly that things are, you know, are needing to be dissolved or die, or we need to let go of things. It can send us into a lot of denial. It can also send us into a lot of suffering and pain. But if we begin to kind of bring our awareness and perspective to some of that, it can support us. So this is quite important for everyone to be doing at this time when we're facing these really intense transits. And of course, because we have Mercury stationing around this point, then we have it there for quite a while. It's there for about, I think, until roughly around the sort of 5th of October, you know. So we've got like a real long period of this intense feeling of like, you know, what is the truth and what needs to be dredged up in that realm of information, which is kind of Mercury. What is being shared that is just, you know, too controversial and too difficult to absorb, and, you know, the power dynamics also around communication, and is there a kind of, are they ramping up this fear of death again as well in their communications with the government and the media? Is all of this that we need to be like super aware of, but not get pulled into, because it can be quite debilitating for us energetically. But it's certainly a kind of boiling point, and we need to be aware of it. So the danger here, I think, from both sides, all sides of the equation, is that we begin to really feed this idea that there is a wrong side. You know, in this whole process, we're really all on the same page to some degree. You know, it might seem like we're all in different pages on different sides, but actually we're all working towards the same outcome, whether we know it or not, whether people are conscious of that or not. Whatever they are consciously trying to do to other people and to the planet, we are all on the same side. And we do need to come back to that, but that doesn't mean resisting or denying the reality that there is bad and there is good. But we don't need to go down the route of demonizing other people, because this actually just feeds into this whole kind of quite psychotic process, which is seeking to break things down, but also could potentially break literally us down, in the sense that we end up feeling like we can't cope. So I think we have to be aware of the intensity of this Mercury Pluto and how much it can push us into communications that might not always serve everybody in this process. People are where they are at, and it's as simple as that. We can't push them and force them into places they are not ready to go. But needless to say, the events of this are brewing, and, you know, we've just got to ride that massive wave and take it for what it is. So let's just bring in the impact of Eris as well here. Eris is a bit like the... It's the goddess of discord, actually, and chaos. And she's a bit like this street fighter, really. She's very much about strife. She's the sister and companion of Mars. So it's a very primordial force, which belongs more to darkness more than anywhere else. But Eris is really here about to really help defend the plights of people who are outcast from society, marginalized, repressed, or unwanted in some way, you know. And that could be absolutely anybody and anything. It could be the anti-vaxxers, but it also could be those people that can't think for themselves, can't see the truth for whatever reason. So she's kind of supporting that whole process, really, of really bringing awareness to how people are being pushed out in different ways. And this is like how we, you know, we don't accept our own spectrum of wholeness. You know, we ostracize parts of ourselves. We repress parts of ourselves that we do not want to face. You know, we don't want them to be there, the shadowy aspects of society and our own individual selves. So this is bringing awareness on lots of different levels here. But yeah, needless to say that it's, again, quite a challenging energy to manage. And the exact point of that square, I think, is on the 9th of October. And I think then we also have a conjunction between the Sun, Mars and Mercury. So it's quite an intense time because of that too. But we'll go into that another time. So I think we've got to be aware that this Eris-Pluto square has been ongoing from throughout 2020 and will continue to be in and out of orb in 2022 also. So this 24 degrees point is going to be reactivated at different times in 2022. But not in 2023. And so there's going to be many other planets that we'll see here that will be reactivating that 24, 25 degree point. And that's what we've got to look out for, really, because that's the important aspect that's in the background. Okay, so let's just bring ourselves now to the end of this year. What we have happening is an important Venus retrograde transit. And when we have Venus retrograding, we generally have sort of a little bit more sort of challenges around our social dynamics, our relationships, everything Venus related. Yeah. Venus retrograde is important because it's like she's going to the underworld. It's not like beautifying Venus, you know, where she's all about roses and perfume. When Venus goes retrograde, she's going into the depths, the darkness, and it's a different type of feminine energy. And I think this deserves a whole podcast on its own or post on its own. But for now, keep it simple. The important thing is that she's retrograding and traveling alongside Pluto for some of that time. And that is an important, very important point. And I think that's the end of December when she's conjoining Pluto and retrograde. So we can definitely expect some sort of challenging conversations around, Christmas time. And I suspect there'll be something that will be happening from governments around the world that will activate that. Because we can expect, I think, a few more rules and regulations and restrictions here. Venus is about social, you know, being together, connecting, bonding. And when Pluto is involved, you know, it's not going to be straightforward and easy and there's going to be power games. So this is quite triggering. It's something to be aware of. And of course, Venus will be retrograding through into January also. And so we've got to expect this kind of ongoing journey here. It's not going to just cease when the kids go back to school. It's going to continue for some time. The best way to work with a Venus retrograde is actually to not necessarily go and connect with everybody out there, but connect more inside and, you know, get to know what's happening inside more. This would be a healthier way of approaching this. And so if there are restrictions this December, then, you know, there's a way of working with that rather than rebelling against it, perhaps. So this is reactivating, though, with this Venus retrograde, because it's conjoining Pluto at that 25 degree point. It's reactivating again this Eris point. And of course, this is also reactivating the first wave of the pandemic around that 22 degrees point. So it's just going to bring it all back really here. And maybe a different flavour of it, but yeah, it's not going anywhere. I think we really do need to also bring into the context that Mars will also be transiting Capricorn, conjoining that Venus in February 2022. So when you put all that together, and I think there's also a moon conjunction with that Venus, Mars, Pluto, then there's a big activation. And that is happening at the end of February going through to March. So I would, you know, really sort of steer clear of anything that you feel must be done that is like so foundationally important. I mean, so much change will be coming in. It's not going to be easy to be consistent or stick to commitments and plans around that time. So just think that through a little bit. And this Mercury also, I think, is going to be activating, if I'm right, a kind of reactivation again in October with its retrograde then next year. So, you know, this 24 degree point that Mercury reactivates in October, I think it's also going to be reactivating in early February as well. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And then late September and early October 2022. So these are also small bells which trigger these bigger ones. We have Uranus and Saturn square that's been ongoing for a while now. And this is in the fixed signs of Aquarius and Taurus. So what this is going to be doing is, again, bringing this Saturn caution and need for order and within the government, within the different kind of institutional control systemic kind of places of power, square to Uranus, which is a challenging aspect. And Uranus is about rebellion, it's about freedom, it's about seeking to break free from, you know, this Saturn caution and limitation and restriction. So we've got this threading throughout the year again, and so this feels like it's really pushing people into a place they don't want to be, and it's going to feel very frustrating again, and people are going to feel that they can't tolerate what is happening anymore. So that's something to watch out for. So we have this strong focus still on this Aquarius energy with Uranus and Pluto and Saturn and Capricorn all involved. And, you know, maybe that will, and Jupiter will be in Aquarius for a little while longer. I think when Jupiter moves into Pisces, we will have a shift and we'll feel that. But we don't know what that's quite going to bring yet. But we definitely have this strong Aquarius energy, which might support people to really push back a little bit more, because they don't want to be part of this this restrictive, repressive regime or tyranny, actually. Even they want to be free. And this is kind of the Aquarius individuality that we always see, is a very rebellious energy. The flip side of Aquarian energy is this need to conform and to belong and to be part of the community. So we have both sides a little bit in conflict at the moment. And of course, this is expressing itself through people and how and what side they feel like they're on. There's two sides to Aquarius, you see. And so while this is happening, we've got to expect, you know, no resolution really, because we have two different ways of working with what's happening globally. I think we've got to wait until that Pluto moves fully into Aquarius in 2024 to bring some deeper changes to how we work with this Aquarian energy. And of course, we, you know, additionally, we have Neptune, you know, going through Pisces, which is like this denial, this sleepwalking, this delusion, living in the matrix. When we have, you know, this, we can't expect global awakening. We've got to wait really for that Neptune to move into Aries, which I think isn't until 2024. I need to check that. But when it does, we can expect a little bit more of a shift. So I think the important date around Neptune next year, and of course it's also at 22, 23 degrees, again, picking up this important point, is that we have a conjunction between Jupiter and Neptune in Pisces at 23 degrees on the 12th of April. And so, you know, with this, it'll be interesting to see what that brings, whether it amplifies the Neptunian issue of feeling asleep, or whether it actually starts to bring some more buoyance and some upward energy, which opens it up a little bit more. Hopefully the latter, but with Jupiter going through Pisces, also, again, it's emphasizing this sense of kind of all living in this illusion together, you know, needing to belong to this big, massive collective illusion and not really wanting to wake up. I think when that Jupiter moves into Aries, that's when we'll begin to see some really big shifts. And that's something to look forward to. We also have the nodal shift from Gemini to Taurus as well. North Node will be moving into Taurus. I think that shift is around the 19th of January. Again, at those final degrees, activating these late degrees in the early months of next year. So, I mean, the evidence is clearly saying, you know, there's a lot more to come that we have perhaps no clue about at this time, and we've just got to wait and see and start maybe unpicking a little bit of more of this in more detail to see what we can expect to come into the reality that we're living in, you know. And it's not looking so easy or straightforward, but it doesn't seem like this is going to go on for 10 years at this time. It seems like really by 2025, there's going to be, you know, we do shift into something new and different. So we've got a lot more to explore, a lot more territory to excavate, to dredge. And, you know, we've got to get into this place where we trust the process. And perhaps even kind of invite the transformation that it wants to bring and connect with our divinity in such a way that it supports us in this journey of sovereignty, because that's really what it is. It's about being free, ultimately, even free from the planets. So anyway, that's enough for now, I think. I hope that's given you a little bit of an idea, and I will go into more depth with each of these as we come closer to these important dates.